This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It is Weekend Wager. We have Greg Wyshynski, who's going to join us, talk some NHL, give you some NHL picks this hour. Doug Kazarian's going to join us to talk some Major League Baseball and NBA. And Dan Torgman is going to join us to talk the Travers. Big horse racing happening tomorrow at Saratoga. But granted, this is a gambling show, but some big news today out of Giants, and therefore we're bringing on Jordan Renan. He covers the Giants, of course, for ESPN. Jordan, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How you doing, Anita?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. I shot an 86 today at Spook Rock, so
I think. Ooh, there we go. That's a nice number.
This is my life now. The happiness and joy and bliss in my life is solely dictated on the round of golf that I play each day.
Well, I'd be perpetually disappointed then. That would just be me.
All right. Well, let's talk about somebody else who I'm sure is disappointed, and that is the Giants. The latest on DeAndre Baker and the ruling that has come down from Florida on him. Fill us in, Jordan.
Yeah, really, what we've been waiting for now, I think we're almost at 3 months, basically, is the police did their original investigation and filed charges against both DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar. The question was, then, was there going to be enough evidence and credible evidence to then prosecute the case? And there was a lot of doubt because you heard a lot of stuff that came out publicly. Who knows what to believe? There was the low DeAndre's non-criminal lawyer that said a lot of things, made a lot of claims. But in the end, they decided they weren't going to charge him all the charges that originally they had. There was originally 8 charges, right? Armed robbery and aggravated assault with a firearm. They basically whittled it down to 4 charges, and they said, we're going to prosecute DeAndre Baker. They're not going to prosecute Quentin Dunbar, the other NFL player who plays for the Seahawks, who was involved in this incident in some way, shape, or form. He is not going to get charged because there was not enough evidence there. But DeAndre Baker now faces potentially, 10 years to life in prison if guilty on these charges. So obviously very serious charges. He's on the commissioner of exemplis. Expect him to stay there. Expect him to never play another down for the New York Giants. Whether he plays in the NFL, who knows? It's not looking great for him right now. And now the Giants are probably going to, from everything I heard, they're going to go about trying to recollect some of that signing bonus. They're going to go after some of that money now. And DeAndre Baker is not in good shape.
Obviously, Jordan, first was the allegations in regard to what happened in the home. Okay. And then after that, there was also reports that DeAndre Baker and his attorneys had convinced something with the witnesses that they went in and they retracted their statements. And they were filmed doing this. The story here is, this is like a Netflix film in regard to everything that has been reported around this situation with DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild story. That's why, honestly, Anita, I have no idea what happened. I mean, you speak to one side and they tell you, some crazy claims about what really went down inside, and another side. And like I always say with these things, there's two sides of every story, right? There's the victim, there's the defendant, and then there's usually somewhere in the middle, which is the truth, right? I mean, and that's probably the case here. But there was some sort of alleged payoff. DeAndre Baker's team said, hey, they initiated this. This was a setup to show that these guys were con artists. And I spoke to DeAndre Baker's lawyer today, and he's furious that they went through with these charges. He thinks it's a complete mistake, and that they're just chasing something that ultimately is not going to come to fruition. There's clearly not, in his mind, there's clearly not enough evidence to say that this actually happened. And what they're basically saying is DeAndre Baker took items with the use of, with a gun, with another unknown assailant, that they took these items from the alleged victims in this case. But look, it's crazy. And fortunately for the Giants, they don't have to sort out what the truth is. This is now taken in the, it's almost like the decision was taken out of their hands, right? Because now this is a criminal case. He's going to have a long road to just protecting his own freedom, right? I mean, because the guy could end up in jail for a long time. So the fact that he's going to have to go through that, you can pretty much count on him being out of the picture. He'll eventually be cut by the Giants, and we'll move on and move forward from there.
Really, really unbelievable. Jordan Renan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. So, Jordan, you know, obviously yesterday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time was the timeline.
Opt out.
For players to opt out. We knew earlier that Solder did. Cornerback Sam Beal decided to opt out as well. So what does that mean for this Giants secondary moving forward, Jordan?
Yeah, it means that don't be surprised to see them go sign a veteran player, because they were already scouring the waiver wire and at least keeping their eyes on some of these veterans that are out there. And that was before Sam Beal opted out. Now, the Giants kind of had, I don't think the Sam Beal thing caught them by surprise. From what I heard, his attendance was sporadic at times in the spring and even these last few days before he opted out. So there was something going on there where they kind of realized, okay, maybe he's not fully committed. That this might not, and this might not be the route we have to go. So the Giants were already thinking forward of, okay, what do we have here at cornerback? We have James Bradbury, who we just signed, and Anita. Who else do they have a cornerback right now? Corey Ballantyne's a late round pick. Grant Haley has some experience playing, but he's mostly a slot guy. Darnay Holmes they drafted. Again, he's supposed to be a slot guy. They picked up a Drayvon Askew-Henry, who comes over from the XFL. Maybe he can contribute. But, I mean, who actually has proven they could play in an NFL game besides James Bradbury? The answer is nobody right now. So
Right. They're
going to add a piece soon. They will. Logan Ryan is obviously a name that everybody should keep their eye on. It's definitely a possibility. Of course, price is going to factor into it. But that's definitely a name to keep an eye on.
Again, Jordan Renan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He covers the Giants, and big news today that DeAndre Baker, the authorities in Florida are going to move forward with the prosecution. And so chances are we'll never see him in a Giants uniform again.
Yeah. Giants career was over. Now it's officially over, basically. You know, I mean, it's all but just transactional now that he's gone.
So in regard to the opting out situation, this is it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so what, I'm just curious, what happens if a week from now or 2 weeks from now, a player is concerned or scared or doesn't feel comfortable with the way that maybe the organization or the NFL is handling the protocols for COVID-19, and they don't want to play anymore. Then do you know what, what happens with that player?
Can go and just sit out, right? I mean, that's their right if they don't want to play. What I think happens is, and from what people I talk to that they say, is that then you just don't get that benefit. If you're high risk, the $350,000 that you get, that is now out, that's not available to you anymore. The $150,000, which is basically a stipend, it's basically fronted to guys who are, you know, just decided to opt out but aren't considered high risk, that also is not available to guys if they do it now that we're past the deadline. So I think that's what happens. Look, you have to understand, and I talk to people behind the scenes on this stuff, there's a moving, sliding scale and bar all the time because, and this goes for every sport, they're making up rules and guidelines as they go along. The NFL changed one of their testing protocols today. Like, they're tweaking these things as they go along. So I think that'll be an obstacle. I mean, maybe if something happens and there's extenuating circumstances, you know, there'll be a complaint filed, or maybe they can retroactively, you know, file for the stipend or whatever. But look, I think in today's day and age, everyone just needs to have an open mind and understand that things are going to change, and there probably will be guys that decide to opt out later on. But I did ask Saquon Barkley today, I said to him, you know, how confident are you that, like, obviously you're playing now, you're trying to play, that the season was going to be played until completion? And what he told me was, look, we have no choice right now, basically, but to worry about our task at hand and just let the pieces fall in that regard, because nobody really knows. You can't control it. We don't know how it's going to go. Their job is to be responsible on their end to give themselves the best chance to be successful in completing this season.
Jordan, I believe that we have Quentin Dunbar's attorney on line one. And so let's bring him in. Is Andy?
This is Andy from Miami, Anita.
Oh, hi. Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm also Quentin's attorney. I'm the same. Your caller that's been calling you all these months has been Quentin's lawyer.
Well, okay. Well, I understand. I understand client privilege, but
I couldn't really tell you anything. But now I can because the case is over.
This is odd. This is strange. So Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants, is on with us. Andy is an avid listener to my show on 98.7 ESPN, and unbeknownst to me, has been Quentin Dunbar's attorney all this time. I totally get it, Andy. But yes, what would you like to interject here in the conversation between Jordan and I?
Well, I've enjoyed listening to Jordan. I'm a great follower of hers. And I know that Jordan has been following the story, so I'll tell – I'm sorry, him. What I'll tell Jordan is this. I am not Quentin's first lawyer. I'm sure Jordan knows exactly who his first lawyer was, Michael Grinko.
Absolutely.
Right. So Kyrie reminded me, Anita. I don't know if you remember. I actually called to tell you the story because I was reading – actually – it was Pat Leonard, I think, had the original search warrant, or TMZ did. Pat Leonard had the second search warrant, and TMZ had the first search warrant. And I called up because when I saw that the allegations were that in the law firm, I always thought that the first lawyer for Quentin was way too cocky, way too aggressive. And, you know, you don't resolve cases by basically daring the Broward State Attorney's Office or daring the Miramar Police Department to file charges. And it really, to me, was I was pulling my hair out because I've been a criminal defense lawyer. I'm death penalty qualified. I usually do murder cases. You just don't do that. You don't attack the prosecutors. You don't attack the police. And if you read, and I know Jordan has because I've been reading his articles because I'm from New York originally. I mean, Detective Moretti did a very, very detailed search warrant with crazy details. I'm sure, Jordan, you'd agree. It read like the script from Scarface.
Yeah, that's why I said this place has been, it's been crazy reading all these things because there's been so many claims along the way. It's like you're riding a roller coaster.
Right. And the problem to me was the problem, at least as I had as it related to Quentin, is that there was no allegation that Quentin was a gunman. In my conversations with the state attorney's office, I did not get the vibe that they thought that Quentin was a gunman. And ironically, what made this case so sensational and got me hired, which were the witness tampering allegations against Baker and Dunbar, is what led to Grieco getting fired, who was the first lawyer, and me getting hired. Kyrie reminded me, I called your show when I was reading this because I couldn't believe it. And it was, you were filling in for Chris Carlin. It was a Friday night like tonight. And at the end of the show, we were talking about it. I had represented Kayvon Webster's brother. Kayvon, there's a lot of great Liberty City and Overtown players like, you know, Antonio Brown. And I mean, I could go down a list, Amari Cooper, you know, all the players from down here. So I represented Kayvon Webster's brother on a murder case. And Kayvon was on the Redskins last year with Quentin. And Kayvon played in Overtown with him. And Kayvon told Quentin what I did for him. I got a call 2 hours after I called in as a listener on your show at 12:30 at night, hiring me. I fired Grieco the next morning. And ironically, you know, the witness tampering allegations made the witnesses completely incredible. And from my standpoint, because I met Quentin, he's a really humble kid. He's 27 years old. His mother, you want to hear something sad, Anita? Quentin's mother was a jail guard. She was a corrections officer in the Broward Sheriff's Office in the jail that Quentin was booked in that night. And he's 27, never been in trouble in his entire life. And a very humble kid. And if you read the original arrest affidavit, which I know Jordan has, I mean, they basically make him, how about a Miami reference, okay, Anita? They make Quentin like Stephen Bauer in Scarface, like Tony Montana's top assistant, like DeAndre's Tony Montana, and Quentin is Stephen Bauer. Like, and they're alleging that, you know, Quentin took watches and put the watches in his bag and then gets in his Lamborghini and drives away. And, you know, Quentin signed a $9.5 million contract with the Seahawks. He doesn't really need to do that. So I'm reading this like, you got to be kidding me. And when I went through the facts and I talked to the Broward State Attorney's Office, I said, you know, it's a little odd. Usually you file within 21 days. We're in day 93 here. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I appreciate that they took extra long to come to a charging decision. And I feel bad for DeAndre. But I heard what Jordan said. I talked to Brad Cohen today, too. And Jordan's right. I mean, the bottom line from Cohen's standpoint is the very same witnesses that are going to say DeAndre did this were in a law office, allegedly, and I say allegedly because no charges have been filed, you know, divvying up money. So there are no witness tampering charges. It's not, I mean, it would have to be filed in Dade, not Broward, because allegedly they were paid in Miami. And there's been no verification of this. And nobody has come forward to confirm this story. But yet these are the same people who allegedly had their hands out that are now going to testify against Baker. So I think Brad Cohen's exactly right to say what's going on here. And that's a problem.
Jordan,
were you surprised that it went that way, that like one guy got charged and the other didn't?
I'm not surprised the charges got dropped against Quentin because they never should have been filed. And I give them credit. I give them credit for coming forward and deciding not to file. But I can tell you this, Jordan. There's going to be an election here, I think August 18th. And, you know, the Broward State Attorney is retiring. Michael Satz has been the head prosecutor of Broward for like 40 years, 30 years. And if the right candidate comes in, they may be like, I'm not keeping this case. I mean, I'm not surprised the charges got dropped against Quentin. I knew that would happen. I'm a little surprised they got filed against Baker because, yeah, I mean, they had a much tougher case against Quentin than Baker because I don't even think they believed that Quentin ever had a gun. But here's the issue, Jordan. How exactly are they going to call these witnesses saying, so let me get this straight. You didn't get prosecuted for putting your hand out for money. You put forth an affidavit right. That you knew to be in bad faith. And then after you put forth this affidavit, you knew to be in bad faith. You're now going to come in and testify to what you originally did about DeAndre Baker. So I think there's some significant credibility problems. But I think the allegations were so sensational. That may be why. And if you read the original affidavit, it's more geared towards Baker than Dunbar. But they're going to have witness problems. And I don't know how those witness problems just go away.
Right. Unless they have somebody else from the outside, right? Somebody else that was there?
Yeah. And there's a witness, Dominique Johnson, they call Coach, who from Liberty City was, you know, like a very popular, was an actual coach and very close to a lot of these players and close to a lot of these kids. And, you know, I mean, he's somehow allegedly involved in the witness tampering charge. And I know they were trying to get inside his phone. I don't know what the story is with that. There's an actual warrant, I think, that was in the media. So I don't think I'm telling you any tales out of school. But, I mean, as it stands now, I think Brad's going to have a really good defense.
Andy, I really do appreciate your call. Talk about live radio. Andy, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll hear from you over the weekend. Wow, a lot to process there, Jordan.
Andy is
somebody who calls into my show every weekend and has for weeks and weeks, and obviously understandably so, you know, client attorney privilege, never acknowledged that he was Quentin Dunbar's attorney. But
he knew what he was talking about, Anita. That's what you can say that.
That's for sure.
He was an informed caller.
That's for sure. Jordan, thank you so much for your time this evening. Really do appreciate it. Interesting how this entire segment unfolded. Hopefully you got something out of it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Anita, you have a great weekend, all right?
Okay, you too. You too.
This is The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.